You're listening to the New Old Heads podcast, shot live every Tuesday at twitch.tv/newoldheads and released every Thursday at noon via bringingdowntheband.com. The show is brought to you by Coleman Dental, Printfinity, Indie CD and Vinyl. Support the show directly by becoming a member at patreon.com/newoldheads.
You are now tuned into the New Old Heads podcast. I am Major 7. The crew is in the building, starting off with my man Jay Moore. Fresh to death, I see you. Exclusive joint, how are you, sir?
No, you know, it's a little something I picked up.
Okay. I ain't counting your pockets now. I ain't in your business.
No, literally. Count his pockets every
day. I don't. Man. I didn't ask him about nothing, but the jersey's nice. That's all.
No. It's it's a vintage piece. When CCM was still making the practice jerseys.
I ain't mad at that, bro.
I had to grab a piece of St. Louis Blues history.
I like that. Rep where you from.
Yeah, exactly.
Patchwork game is high. I see you on the right shoulder. Okay.
So, yeah, if you jersey collectors, if you see something that still, you can get something that still says CCM.
Yeah.
Or Coho. That's a big deal. So grab those because the Coho ones are nice because there's not a lot of there's basically no bootlegs of them.
Okay.
A lot of bootlegs out here for you jersey collectors. And the thing is, I see when I go to sporting events, I see a lot of you in these fake jerseys. And
it
needs to stop. Your letters are too shiny. I can tell you got that from China. Man. You know what I'm saying? There's no such thing as getting an NFL jersey for $29.99.
I feel you.
It doesn't work like that.
Sometimes we got to address things. Bring back booing.
Yeah.
Some people are just out here frugal with it, man.
Frugal is one thing.
Yeah.
You know, but when you
just
out here.
You got to get a good fake, at least.
Yeah, but you know, if you be around
me. At least be able to pull it off.
Yeah, you got to be able to do that. If that's
once again, the numbers are too shiny. They're too small.
Yeah.
You know, your jersey smells funny when you wash it.
Dang.
You need to stop.
Yeah, cardboard behind the stitching.
Mm-hmm.
That's a sign, well, too.
Not actually cardboard. It's like the back page of a notebook.
Yeah, that's what's in there.
Yeah.
That's because when, when I get my jerseys and it looks like something I want to pick up. Sometimes I feel like the price is too good. And I'll ask said seller, I was like, could you please send pictures of that turned inside out?
Mm-hmm.
And then I see it and I'm like, oh, I'll no
pass.
Thank you.
Yep.
No, thank you.
Why not, bro? I'll knock off $40 on the price.
Yeah, because you're selling a knockoff.
Yes. My man Longevity, how are you, sir?
Great. How are you?
Doing great, buddy. Good to see you as always.
Thank you. Good to see you too.
All right. Oh man, DJ J Dill, what's happening, man?
Salutations, man.
Everything good?
Everything's great. Everything's kosher and copacetic.
Oh.
All of that good stuff, you know. Some history was made in the state of Indiana this week.
What's that?
Oh, yeah.
So DJ Long Green, shout out to him.
Mm-hmm. Sorry.
Kind of spearheaded a proclamation to get blending notified as pretty much an Indianapolis thing.
Really?
Yes. Oh, yeah. With the assistance of Top Speed.
Okay.
Lex Luthor, he was there.
Mm-hmm.
Amongst other DJs. Just as far as the history of DJing in Indianapolis, Indiana, or Indiana as a whole, we all know that our style is very, or it's, you know what I'm saying, it's grown and it's become accepted everywhere. And even outside of Indianapolis, Midwest too.
It's I can speak to it being something, you know, in St. Louis, if you can't blend two records together. That's why, you know, when I came here, I was like, okay, these DJs get it. Because I remember I went to Nashville one time.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, what are y'all doing down? And this is on the radio. Like, y'all got on the radio doing this?
Yeah, that's what
nothing
they do.
Against Nashville. Love the city.
Yeah.
You know, there's probably some nice selectors down there, but there's a difference between able to, you know, make these mixes happen for real. And that's really a Midwest thing. Cause,
definitely.
Because even when, shout out to my man, DJ Cut, worked with him when I was at what was then Clear Channels, now iHeart. He was one of the DJs that started Power 105 before the Breakfast Club. He was on with Ed Lover in the morning. And he'd get out there and take that Midwest out. They were so used to people just getting bombs and sirens and all
mm-hmm.
that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to hear someone actually blending records.
Yeah.
They were like, whoa, what are we doing here? What's this?
The mixtape game.
Yeah.
We've talked about this before.
Facts.
I don't know anybody that makes mixes and blend tapes like we do here in the city, honestly. And that's just how I feel about it from experience. I remember one time my cousin from California was in town and I was messing around back then with turntables. I hadn't actually become a DJ, but he was like, what did you just do? And that's just how we came up. We knew blend. That's just what we on. He was like, how did you put them songs together like that? I'm like,
just what we do.
That's what we do. He was like, that's crazy, dude. He was like, y'all call those mixtapes? Like, I'll start playing him stuff. He's like, a mixtape back home is just a song after a song after a song.
Mm-hmm. Somebody curated
their own
playlist.
Yeah, it's a playlist.
But dude, I've heard mixtapes from places and they're just playing songs and letting them ride out and somebody starts talking over them. I'm like, these are not mixtapes.
Nah, why do y'all think this concept that we're talking about, do you think it's underappreciated?
I don't think it's underappreciated because I think a lot of people try to mimic it now.
Okay.
And then it evolved. And I won't even necessarily say evolved because this particular style I don't necessarily like is when they do mashups, so to speak. It's almost like a different term, but it's when they take something that probably shouldn't go together and put it together. It doesn't sound the same to me, though, like style-wise.
Trying to force it to work?
No, it's not forcing. It's just a different type.
Okay.
So blending is more natural. It's like almost like you're cooking something. You're blending it all together, and you have this final product that sounds the way it sounds. You know what I'm saying? If you're familiar with it from where we're from. But, I mean, everybody's trying to do it now. And for them to recognize it as a proclamation that it's something that originated here and in the Midwest, I think that's pretty solid. That's
history. There's like a day that I think it's
August 5th.
I don't know. There is this particular day that's like a day in the city
Monday?
Now.
What was Monday?
The 7th.
The 7th, so I believe it's the 7th.
Yeah, so that's cool. I don't know if I understand what the difference between a mashup and a... I mean, when I think of a mashup, it just sounds like... It's like, to me, blending to what you're saying is just like two songs that kind of blend together. And you leave one of them and then you blend into another one. Mm. A mashup always seems... I've always thought a mashup was like multiple elements. Blends on top of each other. Is that not quite what it is?
When I first heard of mashups, it was more like, I'm trying to figure out a good way to explain it. Because I can hear it in my head, but I can't really put into words what it is.
Is it more so like just like dropping the song on, it's like both songs playing it full at the same time as opposed to a blend?
Kind of going back and forth.
Okay, so it's like one of the volumes is maybe a little lower and then you bring one up or something like that.
Like, so it might be like a vocal of this rock and roll song, and then the vocals will drop out and then it'll be the vocals of the other song that's playing, but it's like a far off song almost. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's different. It's not a blend.
Gotcha.
So I got to look that up now.
I didn't know that blending wasn't like a
national thing.
No, I just didn't know that. I mean, I've been to many places where the DJs, I just thought they sucked, which in my opinion, that blend, being able to mix and scratch together.
I didn't realize how much it's a Midwest thing until I went somewhere else. Mm. Because when I went to, I was in, I don't know, Phoenix, Arizona, and I went out one night, completely different. In terms of what Terry's talking about, is more closer to what Jay Moore was talking about with the bombs and the sirens. And,
I mean, that's more East Coast.
Yeah. But when I heard it out there, it was no blending at all. Not like the seamless blend that we used to hear that he's talking about.
Well, they might, you know, because I know some DJs, they don't blend, but they know how to cut the song and then bring the next one in. They just have a sense of
rhythm and
on the beat.
Yeah.
Drop it on the beat.
Yeah. You know. Yeah. But, you know,
that'll be me when I try to practice. Uh-huh. I ain't gonna hold.
And you know, I mean, there's probably somebody, you know, listening now who's like, "Well, my city does. Where's your proclamation at?"
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying. You know, where's your proclamation? Yeah. Sure. Yeah. I'm not trying to say
you're right. Though.
That is that, you know, we depend on proclamations, but you know, if you felt that strongly about it, you know, where's your DJ community that made sure it happened?
Come on, I'll stand on it.
I mean, look, Indianapolis has an extremely rich, very rich DJ community.
Absolutely,
and agreed. It might be one of the most well-rounded communities that we have in the arts field in Indianapolis. Like, that might be one of our strongest suits. And it's because of all the DJs that were here and, you know,
the pioneers that paved the way.
People willing to teach and people willing to.
I mean, we have a DJ school.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Literally. And yeah. I have people, I have so many friends that DJ, especially on the East Coast. When I was living out in Maryland, became friends with a lot of guys that are dope DJs, and they respect the DJs here. And I'm talking about openly, like they're like, man, y'all got more than a handful of dudes that really get down. Ladies too, like the culture is very well respected.
It's a vibe. Like when they talk about a vibe, literally anytime somebody from out of town is at any party that I've DJed or any of my friends have DJed, they always come up to you at the end and be like, man, this is really tight.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? This sounds different than what I hear back home. This would work. Like, I'm telling you, if y'all did this here, it would do these type of numbers. They literally tell you that.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? But everybody here, we're so used to it that this is just how we are.
Now, I will say that going to Chicago many times, I've definitely witnessed this in Chicago a lot as well.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's Midwest.
It's a Midwest thing.
Yeah. I agree 100% because there's some guys up there that were in Chicago, especially when I lived there, that were amazing. But I was used to it, so I could appreciate it. Yeah, yeah. I'm with you 100% on that.
I just thought it was a thing. And then whenever I heard somebody that couldn't do it, I'd be like, why are you even up there?
Yeah. And it's weird when you're in that environment and you hear the opposite. Mm-hmm. It just feels weird because we almost take it for granted.
As a DJ, you're critiquing everybody anyway, so.
Yeah.
Especially out of town. It's like, oh, this is terrible. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and don't get me wrong. I have heard trash DJs from here. That just slam tracks at
Is that hard to turn off?
You know, it's hard to, you know, they don't have a lot of room to move because.
They don't.
The good DJs, look.
And to be honest, I don't see those people out anymore.
Yeah, and the thing is, I'm not just trying to say, but there are people on national level who, when they come here, they want to make their pilgrimage, if you will. I know that's putting a lot on it. They're here on a Tuesday night, they want to come to Coaches.
Facts.
They want to play at Coaches.
Yeah.
And. You know, the real test is, do you get invited back to Coaches?
Exactly.
Is there some people who played?
I haven't been invited back.
They haven't been invited back.
Your situation was a little different.
I heard they blame COVID on you.
Yeah, yours is a little different.
It's kind of,
That's right. You were the last person to play. Last guest before COVID.
Yeah, yeah. I think I did pretty good, too.
I thought you did good as well.
I got footage. You did a good job.
Yeah, I was there. Is that hard to turn off your DJ ears whenever you go out of town? Yeah, like when you go out of town or if you go to a event.
Absolutely.
I don't think it's something that you want to turn off.
No. I'm just asking. Like, I know I'm wired to hear stuff. I can't change that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But I don't know from a DJ's perspective, is it the same thing?
You can't turn it off. I mean, it's kind of embedded in you. You can hear stuff that somebody else isn't hearing because you listen differently. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So
true.
You can't turn it off. And when you venture outside of, you know what I'm saying, the Midwest, is a different ball game. And it's kind of weird because it's like, how are y'all actually having fun at this?
Yeah. No, I mean,
you just don't know no better.
Because, you know, you can tell somebody who, you know, if they DJ here, they got on because they knew somebody or they was somebody's husband, a brother, a cousin.
Wait, that actually happened?
Look, remember I went to like this AKA event, one of their events they had here in the city. And you could tell it was somebody's like uncle, cousin, or brother was up there DJing because it was the DJ was
baby
terrible.
Daddy.
The MCing was terrible. Mm. It was all bad. And I was like, I mean, I was trying not to turn my nose up at the vibe.
So they threw somebody a bone, a couple people a bone.
Yeah, somebody got a hookup because they're all the DJs in the city, and you got on DJ Cat in a Hat with Fisher Price set up.
Filth on filth.
Yeah, just up there, and a dude just saying whatever because he's so happy to have a microphone in his hand.
He doesn't care
about the vibe of the party.
That's what consumed him. I have a microphone. Nah. This is my show, not the event. It's not about the event. I have a microphone. Y'all about to get this work.
Nah, I remember texting Jay Moore, he hadn't made it to Coaches one time. Like, where are you at? Somebody had took the mic.
Just up there.
It was just up there.
It happened one time, and I walked in, all of a sudden, people started clapping. I was like, this can't be for me.
Yeah, it's to get this fool off the stage.
Yeah,
what it is.
I was like, all right.
Well, it's for you too, but it's more about getting that fool off the stage.
I would tell people, if you're going to have somebody MC for you, like, You tell them what you're supposed. Tell them what they're supposed to do.
Exactly.
Like they're not supposed to be trying to outshine the DJ.
Mm-mm.
Not ever.
You ain't supposed to be up there trying to rap either.
It's up there. Like you're trying to. If you just go. Since we're talking about the 50 years.
Yeah.
The MC was not at the forefront. The MC's job was to say, "Look at this guy." And talk about how good he is.
Mm. Right.
That was what you were supposed to be doing. Yeah.
That's why DJ Jazzy Jeff is in front of Fresh Prince.
That's why Eric B. is in front of Rakim.
There you go.
The MC does not come first.
Look at y'all podding with y'all history. Okay.
And if you are an MC, a host, whatever you like to call it, and you're rocking the party, and you up there trying to outshine the DJ, you're doing it wrong.
Coke LaRock, right?
Got an article about him.
He'd be up there being like, bigging up the DJs and bigging up the people in there and selling weed on the side.
There you go.
You get what that's a good hustle. Look, his name was Coke LaRock.
Get that bread now.
He literally told you twice what he had on deck.
He told you twice.
Yeah.
If you can't get it Coke LaRock.
He told you can get the hard or you can get the soft.
You're stupid if you don't get it after that point.
So he did. In fact, he probably didn't want to be in the forefront.
Right.
You know, gangsters moving silent.
So what you got, brother? You didn't hear my name,
man. Yeah, calm down.
Calm down. Yeah. Hey, man, let's talk Coke. Huh? Rock. Coke LaRock.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Is that who he was talking about?
He mentioned him earlier, but there's an article. There's some recent about Coke LaRock.
Oh, okay. Well, would you look at that?
Yeah, interesting. Man.
First thing I do is I say, would you look at this?
Yeah. So Coke LaRock is upset and is looking for some royalties.
Okay. Would you look at that?
Shoot, me too.
And it's all based off the OG party on Cedric back in 73, the initial hip hop party. He says
people weren't even alive. Never mind. Go ahead.
Oh. He's 68 now, Bronx native. He said a couple of his lines were taken and put into famous records, and he should be compensated for some of his lines that were used. And he's looking for royalties now.
Based upon like what he was saying at the parties or something?
Literally, like he was at the party, and one of the lines that he said was his was, he said, you rock, you don't stop. And this is him at the party. And then that turned out to be in Planet Rock. So he's saying, I'm seeing the hip hop museums pop up and all this type of stuff, and Herc and all these guys are the founders and the creators. I was at the party. Some of the stuff that I was spitting turned out and popped up in records years later. Another one was the line about, let's see, he has two good ones. The hotel line that is in Rapper's Delight.
Hotel, motel.
Yeah. So he said, he originally said, hotel, motel, you don't tell, we won't tell.
Yep.
And then he says,
it goes on from there too.
Yep. So he said, that's me. So he was at the party on the mic rocking. He's known to do that. Lone just talked about, you know, we talk about emceeing and stuff like that.
Yeah, it was like hotel, motel, you don't tell, we don't tell, da 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 da. Like he actually references this specific line in the hip hop evolution documentary.
Yes.
Like he says it in the documentary.
Music's not stopping, the rocks are dropping, the champagne is flowing, the freaks should be going. Hotel, motel, you don't tell, we don't tell.
And he has a lawyer, and the lawyer, this young lady that was a lawyer says, well, did you record this on like an 8-track or something back in the day where we could use it as, you know, evidence or whatever? And he doesn't have a recording of it. But she says he still might have a chance because copyright exists from the date of the creation, not from the date that you file your copyright registration.
But he still has to be able to prove that he did it. That's the part that's going to be hard. That's why the recording of it is so important.
Do you guys kind of feel where he's coming from being that party is so iconic and that those two records are so iconic, him being there and using some of his bars that turned out in those records later? I kind of feel him, but I don't know if he has a leg to stand on technically. How do y'all feel about it?
I think that, yes, I feel for him.
Okay.
But I don't know if I, like if something like Jay Morris has a whole bunch of stuff on the mic, what if one of that ended up in a record? Would you?
That's a good comparison. That's a very good comparison.
That's what you do, literally.
But also, I think about like it's unconscious of me, but like, you know, when I know Metronome's about to bring the record back in, I'll say, as we proceed,
yep.
Like,
and if you don't tip,
that's a big one.
Yeah, that's a big one. But then like, what if like, because, you know, I listened to, you know, Biggie's Who Shot You? And on there, Puffy's like, as we proceed,
right.
You know,
that's right.
What if like, you know, something happens and then like Puffy's like, yo, I need a nickel for every time you say that.
Yeah. Right.
You
right.
know, I mean, but he's talking about things he said that were the basis of records that went
that
on to
part.
Be huge hits. And like, true. You know, because even then, like you can take it to when NWA says, you know, they flip that, you know, I take up to a hotel, that's been flipped more than once, you know, even if it's a song like Chingy's Holiday Inn, you know, you could.
I mean, if you want to go through the layers,
you could go through layers of this and be like, oh, he's old from all. If he said these things and maybe they can. Maybe
Yo, Cassidy's first single.
Yeah.
Cassidy. Good point.
Maybe if it wasn't recorded, but there are people who can testify that he did say these things, and you know, there was somebody at the party that heard these things and said, hey, let's take a little of that, we'll go ahead and embellish it,
and I think
and create something larger that we can package and sell.
It's the party, it's the magnitude of the party, how the party is looked at now, plus those two records,
yeah,
as being as iconic as they are. So I mean
that flyer is still floating around for that party.
Yes.
And I'm sure there are a lot of witnesses that are still alive that can attest that he did it. I think, honestly, it would come down to people that want to, out of the strength of paying homage to him, throw him some bread. I mean, he's 68 years old.
Yeah.
He's a pioneer to the game. There was no money in it when he did this. I mean, this was all love and fellowship at the time.
Mm-hmm. So he was 18 when all this went down. He wasn't thinking about getting a lawyer. Copywriting.
And I like that he said
exactly. Copywriting his rhymes that he said at a party.
Right.
I like that he said it's really about, you know, him getting some bread for his grandchildren. So he mentioned that. So his approach is, I mean, it's about him and his recognition.
If he just said, I want some bread from me, I wouldn't have been mad.
Right.
No, I'm just saying, I think it's dope that he mentioned his grandchildren on top of, you know, him getting his dues as well. I'm not mad at that.
It's kind
of
like the same instance with older NBA players when their contracts weren't the same as they are now. A lot of them have to go through different steps and loops in order to be able to survive.
Right.
And they do have like a fund for those type people. And I think somebody was talking about this at one. Bow Wow, I think, was one of the people that was talking about having like a commission of hip hop artists that that paid into a union of some kind or something. Y'all remember that conversation?
Show. Yeah.
So something like this, I think that would be good for those type of artists that have paved the way or have contributed to the art of hip hop, and they were never paid for it. And we always talk about how Jay-Z says he's overcharging for what they did to Cold Crush because they weren't making any money back then, and it's evolving to what it is now. So
yeah,
you know, Chuck D is always mentioned, piggyback off what you said about Bow Wow trying to put something together, LL giving
equity
and Rock the Bells, you know, to the OGs. That's a form of it. But the actual union concept, I remember we did talk about it. This is the prime example, Terry, to your point, of how it will work.
Kind of.
You don't think?
I mean,
you think there's?
I don't know how you.
Why it would make sense? Not necessarily.
I think it
work.
Maybe in the future.
No,
in the future, it makes sense, right?
There's no game plan put together, but why it would make sense for them to sit down and come up with something?
Yeah, yeah.
I like makes sense. Yeah, I see your point.
Yeah, I can feel him. I mean, I understand all that, but I don't know how. I feel like realistically, it's just a legal battle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's hard. It seems like it's hard to make this stick.
And it's one of those things like, yeah, sure, he had some sort of influence over one thing that then had influence over another thing. But I don't think that you can say, I don't think you can get anything from the thing that had influence from the other thing. You know, like it's like a step because if
it was literally a part of the culture. That's kind of like here, like phrases that people only in Indianapolis, Indiana say, Naptown stuff, like how you what and out the gate, things like that. Like, who gets paid for that if something were to transpire to where it was, you know what I'm saying?
Like, if somebody
pop off or something.
Even like a dance. Yeah. Like somebody's like, oh, yeah, that originated here. So it had to originate with somebody. And then, you know, when you try to copyright the dance and say, oh, and, you know, because it winds up being on a world stage
Fortnite.
Somewhere. Yeah, exactly. Like the whole thing with Fortnite. And then it's like, how are we supposed to pay somebody for that? And you can't prove it. And this, that, and the third.
Anybody can get it.
Yeah. Like Carlton dance.
Carlton,
how he was trying to get paid.
Even though he.
Which, I believe he should have, but he never got that check.
Yeah, he didn't. That's not his dance.
It isn't. You're right.
Yeah, we just.
Dark video.
Yeah, we just made it the Carlton dance. Yeah.
And the things that we are talking about right now are what make this conversation so challenging. You know, and why, you know, like the creation. That's why it's so important to actually take care of your legal stuff. It's like a, you know, it's, as Jay Moore always says, it's a cautionary tale.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, there's nothing that he could have done, but it's just like he got left behind. And, you know, it would be, I think that to your point, Terry, I think the only way that this actually becomes something is if people that are a part of the culture do something for him in that aspect.
Yeah.
Now, maybe, who knows? Maybe he makes some money off of it, but I don't really see it, even if he gets,
I can't speak for him, obviously, none of us can, but. I mean, if he gets his flowers and he's added to something that is commemorative
or
hip-hop. Yeah, like there's something that's tangible for him to get his flowers.
That would be cool.
I think that would be dope. It's not the bread, but it's still the recognition. You know what I'm saying?
My guess is that what they would try to do is sue for a percentage of how much a song had made.
Up to now.
Up to a point, and then can then also have points on said record.
Residuals.
Yeah. That's... And I don't know, maybe that's not a bad thing, but that, again, do those records even still make a ton of money like that?
It takes is for one of them to wind up in a, like
TikTok.
We talk about, in a video game or
that's
in a
true.
Movie trailer.
That is true. That
you
is
know,
true.
Especially in a big movie.
You know, J.J. Fad saw a nice check when Sonic the Hedgehog came out, and they put Super Sonic in the movie and in the trailers.
That's true.
I mean, we were talking about, you were just talking about the score for
The video games.
The show. Isn't it the show?
MLB The Show.
And we also mentioned, Jay Moore, you talked about the Transformers movie, the music director.
Yeah.
Like how much stuff they played from the 90s in that movie.
Oh, yeah.
Like those are checks.
Yeah.
You know, those are big because there was huge.
LL Cool J probably got a nice check.
Wu-Tang.
Biggie. Like it's almost, Biggie. It's a 90s hip hop mixtape.
Yeah.
It's absolutely. All through that movie.
Yeah. So to
it's
your point.
It's not a bad movie either.
No, I enjoyed it.
No, yeah, no, I watched it again just to make sure I wasn't tripping. You know, sometimes you got to do that. It was good.
Shout out to him.
He ain't doing Barbie numbers, but it was good.
I understand where he's coming from. He doesn't seem bitter, but he just wants to.
It's just a lot of people from that era who were there, the pioneers, that just, look, I don't know if Grandmaster Caz ever got his songwriting credit for, you know, basically writing Big Bang Hank's lyrics on Rapper's Delight.
Right. I don't think any of them wrote their lyrics on that song.
No, I don't think so. You know,
I mean, that was the story that they didn't. So,
yeah.
I mean, it speaks alone. You know, talking about this
because
so
once
many
again,
levels to this.
What's Big Bang Hank? I mean, what's Grandmaster Caz? You know, what's he going to do? Go get a lawyer and make sure that
right.
he gets his points in his publishing. Like there was no record. There was no hip hop record industry at the time.
Yeah. None.
It put my man in something that's that can be remembered and that's just tangible for him and give him some flowers. I think that would be dope. I'm not mad at it. I hope he can find something that will at least make him feel good about it. You know what I'm saying? Like I mean, he was there. And like Terry said, that flyer and all that, that's an iconic moment. It always has.
You can literally buy that flyer on a t-shirt right now, and I'm sure they're not getting any.
The other person, whoever, you know, I don't want to say graphic designer that hooked up that flyer, but whoever, you know, made it, and I guarantee you they're not seeing anything off that.
It's just like my boy that bought, sold the Wu-Tang logo.
Yeah.
You know? Man, imagine.
That logo, paperwork. Man, that's a whole nother conversation because a lot of people done lost a lot of bread off that game.
Facts.
Then you see the logo being, now the logo's on t-shirts you can buy at Target.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with the Run DMC logo. All that stuff that was underground and just kind of pushed to the margins at one point now is mainstream. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Imagine getting a
Biggie shirt at Old Navy.
Sure can.
Yeah. Mind you, I worked at Old Navy back in the day and they didn't want to play hip-hop music in the store. At least the one I worked at, like you would get a hip hop tape to play in the store for the month. Like every month there was a new tape. They would play that tape one or two days and then put an old one back on because they didn't want to play the hip hop joint.
I believe you.
But now we're selling Biggie t-shirts in Old Navy.
I saw there's a limited edition of Brooklyn Lager that, you know, has, you know, the Notorious B.I.G.'s like silhouette on it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even though I've seen one, they had one at one point with Budweiser, and it's like you just don't know. This is why you got to take care of your paperwork early, because
just go to Amazon and look at the multiple.
They'll use your image,
shirts and likeness,
and guess whose image they don't mess with because they're copywritten and licensed. Disney and sports teams, stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? Because
they mess with it. A little
they got
bit,
the money to do it,
but don't let them catch you.
Yeah,
because they will come after you and take every look there. If you know anything about Nintendo as a company, other than, you know, you like playing the games or whatever, this is the only company I'm sure will just come out and sue little children. So you don't play with their intellectual property at all. Like there are people who have made a fan made game that they try to get a version of Super Mario Brothers to work on a Commodore 64. And Nintendo was like, if you don't take this off the internet, there is somebody right now who had a ROM site where they just had a whole bunch of Nintendo games on there.
Never mind.
And like, basically, this dude is going to be paying Nintendo until the day he dies.
Wow.
What?
Because he got sued by Nintendo. And like, just a guy who wanted to host some old games on a server for people to play. Like, so there are some people that once it gets to that point, you got to understand, there are people who do not play with their intellectual property.
Distribution.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's...
Dang.
Yeah.
They got Buddy on the...
Because, like, they sued him. Every game that he had up was a count.
Wow.
What?
Yes. So he had, like, hundreds of games up.
That's what they used to say back about torrents back in the day. Like, it's one thing if you download it. It's another if you... Like, once you download it, you allow other people to download it from you.
Yeah.
That's where you ran into the issue because they would come after you if you did that. So
and it was just taking bits and pieces.
Yeah. And then torrenting, that's why it was tricky because it's pulling data from a whole bunch of different people, not just one person.
Right.
So,
huh.
But Yeah.
That's why people were having their servers like in other countries, and
Pirate Bay was like in Russia or
something. Pirate Bay.
Yeah.
I used to be on there all the time.
Oh man. All they would do is just change the end of it.
I haven't been on that in a very, very long
very
time.
Very long
Is that
time.
Even a thing anymore?
I don't know.
I'm not even sure.
Look, Jay Brookins put me on it back in the day, talking about torrents.
Yeah.
And then that's how I got Marvel vs. Capcom 2 for Xbox.
Man, listen.
You get hype when you see that thing.
And I was like, there's no way it could be this easy, and it worked.
It was absolutely easy.
But it worked perfectly.
And I never got a virus from it.
Nope.
Oh, you're a lucky one.
I never did either.
Yeah. It wasn't LimeWire.
It wasn't like LimeWire.
LimeWire was different.
LimeWire got me on one of my computers.
LimeWire got everybody. Them torrents, it was kind of, if you read them right, you could almost tell if it was a good link.
Yeah.
If you knew how to read it.
Yeah.
You never got God long?
Nope.
Never.
Wow. Good for you.
You know, you was in there trying to, you know, when you were in there downloading stuff, you know you had no business downloading.
Who, me? Why you put my business out there like that?
Oh, hit dog hollered on him.
You just approved it.
Yeah.
Why you trying to put my business out
then
there?
Then I would let them torrent. I would let mine torrent for a little while, and I would stop it. Like, I wouldn't let it just keep pulling from mine. I was kind of selfish.
People have no idea the things people went through to get games and music and things.
Look, when you set it up to where people can, I always say, like, one of the biggest mistakes the music industry made is they tried to put the toothpaste back in the tube. When all of a sudden Napster came out, they're like, nope, just stop this. Stop this. Go to the store. Buy the CD, $17.99. You know,
that's a legit price, too.
You know, things when Steve Jobs came along and was like, look, I'll make it easier for you to buy one song than to try to steal it.
Yeah.
That's what, you know, at a certain point, I'd be like, I could go through the rigmarole to try to steal this song, but it's much easier for me to just pay the 99 cents and buy it.
Changed everything.
And so, like, I think movies, you know, the Hollywood was like, okay, the toothpaste is out of the tube. We have to adapt, as opposed to shaking our finger at people and trying to get them to go back to an old style of consuming content. You know, I don't know how it's really working out for them now, because they're dealing with this strike and they don't want to pay nobody. But I think that's something they tried to adapt to a little bit better than the music industry. Because the music industry was like, we'll just sue Napster and shut down the service. And no, once people found a way to get a song at, you know, when it was immediately available, like, it was for kids listening right now. I always talk to kids because I assume they're listening, maybe one or two. There was a time where you might hear a song on the radio and you'd still have to wait maybe a month and a half for it to be available, either on the full album or for them to put a single out.
Facts.
You know, it wasn't this thing, oh, I love that song, where can I listen to it in my leisure? It's like, no, if you don't hear it again on the radio, you don't get to hear it.
That's why I'm getting mad when the DJ comes in at the end of my tape as I'm trying to record this song. can we shout out the partners real quick?
Yeah. Yeah, why not?
Thanks to our partners. Dr. Coleman of Coleman Dental is our go-to dentist. He's a longtime Indianapolis arts and music supporter located right in Broad Ripple. Printfinity is a screen printing shop based in Indianapolis, owned and operated by our own DJ J Diff. Our good friends at Indy CD and Vinyl operate one of the best record stores in North America. Shop new and used in their site or visit them in person. And the best way to support the New Old Heads is to visit our Patreon and become a member for as little as $3 a month. All details on newoldheads.com.
Welcome back.
Yeah, new development.
Thanks.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks for welcoming back. Oh, you're welcome.
No.
Ice cream.
Dang gang.
Just a small thing.
We missing out on that bread.
Not sure if you saw this, but they sentenced Tory Lanez today.
Oh, yeah.
What was it? 10 years.
10 years.
10 years?
For his feet stuff?
Look.
Dang.
I don't know who his lawyer is, but I don't, you know, why
a terrible
why you didn't take a plea when the person that was shot was going to show up to court and say that you shot them? And I don't know what you thought was going to happen with this. I think
taking a stand.
I think 10 years is a lot, but at the same
quite
time,
excessive.
Like it's L.A. and you had an illegal gun in California. They don't play with handguns, and
you're a foreigner.
True.
A dirty foreigner. That's right. These Canadians need to stop coming down here. Wow. You know, that's right. Shooting our black queens in the feet. Stop all that. That'll learn him. It'll learn anybody coming through Canada in the future. You cannot have the toolie on you when you're in California. And don't shoot nobody in the feet if you don't want to get caught up in the system.
Technically, Canadians are Americans.
They are.
Technically.
Yeah. Yeah, whatever. They ain't got no social security number. They get them out of here.
My wife is from South America, so I you know.
Man.
They are Americans.
But I know what you mean. They're not citizens of the United States of America.
Exactly, the United States.
Yeah,
United
Talk to States. Him, Jay Moore. Jay Moore got riled up, man.
Yeah, like okay. I said, so he going to have to do, look, he's not going to do all 10, y'all. Like,
nah, he's not. Gonna,
he
nah,
might
nah,
do
I'll
four.
Do
he half. Might do, he might. He,
don't do that long.
He's going to get time served. Yeah. You is know, it, he might do half his time. Yeah, you know,
he might do 4 to 5.
Yeah. So is he serving in a Canadian prison?
No, he's going to do he's time not, California yeah. State Prison.
California State yeah. Prison.
He's not, he's not eating any Canadian bacon in prison. Hmm. Just regular
don't stop.
Bacon.
Oh, okay, I thought you were about to go somewhere else.
Yeah, yeah.
No.
No, but so.
Good job.
I mean, just like, you know. Did I think it was excessive for Plaxico Burress to get all that time?
Yeah,
but, you know, he shot himself.
Man.
Imagine shooting yourself and going
to jail.
That's add insult to injury.
That's tough. That's tough.
But it's New York. They don't play. You know, regardless of the circumstances, you getting like 2 years minimum.
Off top.
And, you know, he shot himself. He shot in California. He shot somebody. And he is a foreigner, a dirty foreigner from Canada with a gun.
That's a 150 pointer right
and
there.
And I'm just telling you right now, like, you can only feel but so far sorry for him. Because, you know, if you know the person that you shot is coming to court, you better take that plea. Man. You know, but you know, the wild thing is if it had happened here,
yeah,
you know, where you could have a gun, mm-hmm. you know, he might have done a year today, time served. He'd have been home by Christmas.
They made an example out there, young man.
Yeah,
they did.
Well,
I mean,
it's unfortunate because he has money. So that this goes to show you that having money
talk to him
does not necessarily guarantee that you're going to be out here and represented correctly. He should have got one of those lawyers or attorneys off of the show suits. He might have been in a better situation,
especially when the other person has more money.
Come on, man.
Look, he should have said, look, I got a drinking problem. I'm sorry, Megan Thee Stallion. I ain't mean it, you know, and throw himself on the mercy of the court. He thought he could go in there and win.
I'm mad because I seen somebody tweet and said that kind of messed up. Somebody went to jail for 10 years and the person that got shot was twerking minutes after it was done.
Oh,
I was like, that's messed
that's
up.
Tough.
Hey, the court don't care nothing about that. You
nothing.
Had, you are a foreigner with a gun, and you
what
shot
kind of
it.
Foreigner was he?
He's a dirty foreigner from Canada.
See, that's
once again,
that's two.
Right, and that's how I'm going to talk about. It. Like I said, don't be down here shooting our black queens in the feet.
Man. Yeah,
two.
As long as you ain't shooting people, you ain't a dirty foreigner.
Yes.
Yeah.
But if you get to shooting black women in the feet.
Especially when you're from Newfoundland.
Yeah. That qualifies you as what, Jay Moore?
A dirty foreigner.
There you go.
Watch out for these Canadians. They be talking about all this other stuff. These Canadians be acting up.
He's from Saskatchewan.
That's where Pharrell got the idea to wear that hat.
Out here looking like the Mountie from WWF show.
Yeah, WWF too. You remember the Mountie?
Yeah.
Shout out to Nas. Let's talk Nasir. Nasir was on an interview with Billboard, and he's basically pushing for older rappers to continue to rap and make music from his era, just like he's doing with Hit Boy. They had a sit down interview with him, and he said, basically, release your records. He said they're working hard on them expletives. I want to hear how people feel. I want to hear their art. He also says, I don't want to hear trends. I want to hear the art. So I didn't like the trends part. Kind of makes you sound get off my lawnish, but I'm not mad at him wanting to hear music from older MCs that want to put it out and just forget about the sales and the streaming and just put the art out. Because Ed Lover said that on Math Hoffa's show. He said he would love to hear another project from Wu-Tang, another project from Run DMC. Didn't care about the sales. It's more about hearing where the legends
See, I
are.
I can't go that far.
That's what I was going to ask y'all. What do y'all think about that? Because I mean, it's frowned upon in hip-hop, I think.
I don't think it's frowned
everybody,
upon.
Everybody's shelf life isn't still fresh, so to speak.
Okay.
And we've talked about Wu-Tang as a whole, as a collective, as you know, as the group that they are.
Mm-hmm. As a nation.
There we go. They're for the kids.
Yep, you
know? Definitely.
And I think we've talked about this, they've got three of them.
Three.
As a collective. Now, solo-wise.
They got a lot.
I'm with that. But, I mean, some people got to know when when it's run its course. And I think some of these artists and groups are in that category.
That has run its course?
It's run its course. I mean, you got in, you did what you were supposed to do, and now just tour off of that stuff.
What about speaking to, I think he's speaking to the freedom of them, if they want to put records out, not worrying about how it's going to be received,
you should,
if it's
though.
Going to stream.
You should.
Because to your point, you said they've had their moment, they've maxed it out, right? They've done what, they've been to the pinnacle, they've been to the mountaintop.
Some people have.
Some people have,
I mean,
right?
Nas has hit his second win.
He had, but so what you're saying is everybody doesn't necessarily have.
But we don't ever talk about Nas's sales or right. what he's streaming. We talk about the actual artistic merit of what he's put out.
The final mm-hmm. product every single time.
This is like Big Daddy Kane. In mm-hmm. my personal opinion, he doesn't have to do anything else. You know, him and Jay-Z are around the same age.
Doesn't even seem like it.
Don't seem yeah, like Daddy it because Kane's they came out older. In different eras, but. They are a different type of artists.
Yep.
He was an artist for his time, and he can still make his money and eat off of what he was then versus trying to force himself to do something when he's just not there or prepared mentally or even have the want to do it. You know what I'm saying? Rather than just doing it because somebody wants you to.
Yeah, I don't think.
What you think, Lo?
I don't think anybody should force it. That's the main okay. thing. You know, like if you have it in you and you really want to put something out, then yeah, sure, do it. But some people are going to love Wu-Tang no matter what they put out.
Agreed.
You know what I mean? So for those people, that's cool. But for, I guess maybe for us that, you know, we're always looking for just high quality product. It doesn't necessarily, sure, we have our favorite artists, but we care more about the product being good than, I don't want to speak for everybody. Something. I want to speak for everybody, but I care personally more about the product being good.
No, you preaching.
I don't care if it's my neighbor who just made something fire or if it's Inspect the Deck. Like if it's fire, it's fire. You know, I don't need somebody who has, you know, made stuff and then they haven't made stuff to force something to try to be relevant to that matter.
Even, or you're just trying to get a check.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, and I understand that it seems like Nas is saying, like, just do it because you really
yeah,
want to do
just
it.
Just do it.
And that's fine.
But Nas doesn't have to rap to eat like some of these people.
Maybe.
Like, the, you know, there's more of a risk that some of these artists would take by putting out material. And maybe if their heart's not in it, nobody cares. And then they can't tour off it and they just wasted some time.
Right. So from that aspect, for sure. But I agree with his sentiment in the sense of like, if you're feeling like, don't be afraid to.
That yeah. part.
Like I agree with that part. But, you know, I don't want to hear somebody who's not interested in rapping just try to capitalize off their name again.
You see, I put in Discord that LL album is coming out.
Oh, so it's
coming out.
Which one?
The one
we talk about
YouTube.
LL? Yeah, it's coming out. So he actually has a single that he's working on. And when he was with Sway, there's a freestyle that's floating around.
This is the one that he said that he stopped doing? No, that was a Dre one.
Okay, yeah. Never mind. So this was the one that, you know, it was an idea and then it went away. Then it was an idea. Now it's a real thing. There's a freestyle that he's been doing. He did it at Rock the Bells. It's a part of the single, I believe, that he's going to put out. And LL is a person that does not need the bread coming off this music. He's definitely not rapping for a check. So it sounds like he will fall in the category, to Lone's point, about somebody that's just passionate and wants to pop back out again. Now,
I'm interested to hear how that turns out, though.
I actually want to hear it as
yeah,
well.
Me too.
I actually want to hear it as well.
Because, you know, let's just be real. A lot of older artists have a hard time making music that transcends different eras.
That's what he said. And he said that with Sway. He said he's paid close attention to that, the evolution of it. And he says he doesn't want to be the guy that's just, and I'm paraphrasing here, but, you know, that's just coming out saying I'm the king and this is how we used you know to what? Do it. He wants to make dope
Listen,
records.
LL Cool J could get right back in his rap ballot bag.
Facts.
And do numbers.
And be just fine.
And he could actually use the same producers that he was using when he was doing it back then.
Yep.
And it would probably still work.
I think it would carry over.
I hate rap ballads.
Well, his balance was that's a little different, though. I'm talking like the joints he did with, like,
I know what you mean,
Boys to Men.
Yeah,
that was fire.
He's stalking that young lady.
Yeah, that was still a good song. Yeah.
I'm more so talking about the Eminem's rap ballads.
Yeah.
No.
Those are like power ballads.
That's true. Yeah. Power
ballads. I feel like they should have been on a CD in the mail or something like
those,
that.
Those should have been on Over the Top.
Like Meatloaf should be singing in the background.
Yeah. Those were Sylvester Stallone movie records.
Yeah, I need somebody jogging.
Top Gun,
that.
Even.
Maybe.
Yeah, I don't need power ballads, man. I don't like power ballads that are rock power ballads. Right.
So we definitely don't need an Eminem power ballad.
Oh, man.
I can't even see. Matter of fact, now that I think about it, I don't want to see Rocky Joggerton on Eminem power ballad. No, I'm cool.
And that new Eminem song where he's featured on somebody else's track is actually pretty solid.
I was going to go there in a minute, but yeah.
Boy's still nice now.
No,
we ain't never said he wasn't.
Yeah, he's still
that's
nice.
The thing. We never said he wasn't.
But Jay Moore, jump in on this concept of the.
It's okay.
Well, I just want. The art, like, there's probably maybe 3 or 4 years ago. I know it was when during the course of us doing this show, you know, where Razzcast put out Soul on Ice 2.
Yes.
And then not too long, either before or after that, I remember Smith and Wesson, you know, they put out a record that I liked. That.
Yep.
You know, and so it's a that's situation a noise to where artists have been doing this. Like, that's why I always get, you know, I don't want to say mad, but I feel some type of way. It was like, yo, why don't, you know, we need them artists back. It's like, they are out. They still make music, but you just don't check for it because you can't hear on the radio and you don't know what to check for because there's no such thing as Rap City in the Basement anymore.
What if I was to argue that, first of all, your examples are correct.
Goody Mob dropped an album in 2021.
Sure did. Yeah. Good point, Lone.
It wasn't bad.
Wasn't bad.
But
wasn't
great. What soured Goody Mob were the albums World Party,
mm-hmm.
Absolute Trash. And then CeeLo went on to do his solo stuff, which was really good.
Fire.
Then he teamed up with Danger Mouse and they created Gnarls Barkley.
Fire.
That was a good run. And then Goody Mob were still releasing albums at that time, though.
They put out an album called One Monkey Don't Stop.
They sure did.
I didn't need that.
I know somebody, there was somebody at my job that was talking about, man, that album was underrated. I was like,
no, it was not.
I don't think so.
Nah.
I don't, honest. Well, never mind. I'm not even.
Anyways, let me ask.
But my thing is like, if I, not that they would take my advice, they need to listen to me at all, but you know, LL talked about, I don't want to chase trends.
Right.
And I think that was something that people should take to heart. If you're for artists from a previous generation is like, you got to look at it like this, man, make records for the people who loved you initially. Razzcast wasn't trying to get no new friends, right. New fans. With Soul on Ice 2, he made records for me when I remember listening to Soul on Ice, the first one, in my dorm room, you know, in the 90s. Like, he was trying to satisfy, absolutely. Like, make things to impress your original fans.
Target audience.
Because you're never going to get on commercial radio, you know, with you being you. It sounds crazy.
Yeah.
You know, same thing with Wu-Tang. You know, I don't know what they're going for. You know, Ghostface still makes music for people who loved Iron Man.
Exactly.
And that's why I feel like it works.
I'm confused if I get Ghost and Ray on trap beats.
With the Migos.
No, you don't
want
to do that.
I don't want as a fan.
Unless it's a parody track.
Yeah, like, you know, I don't know.
It makes sense for them.
I don't know if I need that or if I want that. Like, I'm not saying it's going to tarnish their legacy, but it's like, it was unnecessary. I don't need that.
Well, there's certain artists.
Y'all could have kept that, is what I'm saying. Y'all could have kept that.
There's certain artists who have actually laid the blueprint for the type of artist you should pretty much grow into.
Okay.
Jay-Z being one of those. Nas. Fonte.
Mm-hmm.
Fonte makes grown man hip hop now. You know what I'm saying?
He kind of always has.
He's never made really trendy stuff.
But it speaks to his fan base, though.
I would say Big Boy as well. He's evolved. Yep. Big Boy's evolved.
Killer Mike. These are people that know how to hone into their core fan base and continue to still do top-notch music and still pull in some more fans.
Yep.
No, and that's
by staying true to themselves.
That's the thing with these Nas records. He's made these records for those of us who listen to Illmatic in 94, and then listen, we're very critical of It Was Written, but then came back and was like, all right, okay. Mm-hmm. And then we're super excited when Nas's Light came out.
Yeah.
And then we, you know, we had the same level of criticism back then when he was chasing a trend, when he did the song You Won't See Me Tonight with Aaliyah, which we hated.
Or the Nostradamus single.
Oh yeah. My
so,
God.
You man. Know, because when you're at that part of your career, it makes sense for you to chase the trends. But at this point, like, there's not one single program director in this country who's like, I wonder what Nas is doing. Let me check out, because they don't care.
Jaymore, let me play devil's advocate to what you said about there are artists out here that are doing it. The reason I was going to pose this question is, what about the more top tier artists that aren't doing it? When I say top tier, I'm talking about the Rakim, Kane. You don't see those guys popping out a lot making records again. Now, you know, Smith and Wesson, them, Razzcast, I get it. But I'm talking about the cream of the crop guys from
because
the
80s. There was a point in the game when they were very much at the top. And we've talked about how there are certain artists that can eat super well just based off that nostalgia wave.
True.
Okay. And
Tribe did it.
Yeah. So I'm what I'm saying with Big Daddy Kane, KRS
is another
big,
one.
You know, Rakim. they could come, they could never record another song, but if they have that passion to record more music, they should go ahead and do it, but don't, my whole thing is like, I don't want to hear you try to chase whatever's trendy. I want you to do what you did to make us love you initially. I understand there's an evolution of things and maybe you have different things
you
to
can
say.
You can follow the evolution of your style.
Yeah. Talk to alone. Talk
but,
to him.
But for you to be like, okay, who produced these Sexy Red records? Let me go ahead and you know, I want to find out who produced Pound Town, and then I want to hear Rakim rhyming over, you know, production from the person who produced Pound Town.
But if he goes out and he works with Black Milk and he works with Odyssey and he works with Knots,
that's different. They come from that tradition.
You know what I mean? It's going to sound good.
Agreed. Because always look at the operating system concept when you get an update or an upgrade on something. There's ways that you can do that and apply it to your sound, still be you. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? You don't have to lose yourself. You can still update your sound. I think, as producers, we do that.
I think that is what's missing in a lot of that era. Mm-hmm. And the artists that don't succeed very well when they try stuff again, it's not that they don't follow trends. It's that they don't follow like the trends within their own genre. In their subgenre, their niche genre. You know, what are the boom bap dudes doing now?
Right.
You know, like, what, work with those people. Work with the hot producers that are, like, really hot in that particular small niche. And I think then they could do well. That's what Nas did with Hit-Boy.
Agreed. Yeah.
You know, because one of the worst times people trying to step out and try to be, I was just the king of this, and you should respect. Like, because Run DMC did put out an album in the 2000s called Crown Royal, and it's absolutely horrible.
Wait a minute, now that had, no, you're right. Never mind.
No, I was about to say, what do you mean, wait?
You're right. Never mind. You know what?
If you listen to DMC is not even really on the album.
Yeah. You're right. I was thinking of something else, but yeah. I caught myself.
Run and all these alternative rockers at the time, yeah, and they had a song called Queen's Day that was kind of decent, but it was just like, you know, and that song, Let's Stay Together with Jagged Edge, it was all cringeworthy, the whole project.
Yeah. They were just, they made a good song with Jagged Edge and decided they wanted to try it again, and it just didn't work.
That came after.
Did it?
Yep.
I'm tripping because.
I think that came after.
Oh, wow.
That's how the initial, I think, relationship started from that track they did on Crown Royal. But it's just what, like I said, when I remember sitting listening. I was in radio, so I didn't buy a lot of stuff at that time. I would get promos. And I remember I was like, oh, new Run DMC album. And I was like.
Disgusted.
I
was disgusted by the LL Cool J album Goat. Disgusted.
I almost said again that one had, and then I was like, I can't remember records on that.
What was on that record?
There had to be a lead single.
That's a song with a video where he's got like a panther or something, right?
Stop. Absolutely not.
No, don't do that.
I hate him, man.
Man, there was a video with LL Cool J, and he's walking around with like a tiger or something.
The name of the album was Walking with a Panther.
Yeah, but that wasn't. Nowhere near the Goat.
But that was the I'm That Type of Guy video.
Hold on. When did this come out? Because my
the Goat was like
97, 98.
Closer to 2000.
It came out after Phenomenon. Yeah.
No, not the Goat album. When did the one with him and this big animal come out?
Like 90.
No, Walking 90? Walking with the Panther came out in 89.
Was it 89?
Him with this big animal.
No, so it ain't the one that I'm talking about then.
I'm That Type of Guy video is when he had the Panther in the video.
Is that a newer, like in the late 90s?
Maybe you're talking about when he turned into the shark.
Was walking around, man.
When he turned into the
This
shark.
Is like one of the memories that is definitely cemented in my head. Memory. It's like in there, and I can't relate it to anything because it doesn't make any sense at all.
Is 89, my brother. Yes,
yeah, that's the only time I remember.
I wasn't watching LL Cool J videos in 1989.
Goat came out in 2000,
sir.
Yeah, so I
had to have been off that album.
10 had heat because that's got a
no. 10 I had 10. I can.
It was like
with.
A CGI tiger or something. I don't know. Maybe
Goat wasn't it.
I don't know.
Like imagine that was a single featuring LaShawn. Lone knows LaShawn.
I went to school with a LaShawn.
We all did.
How you say that, Terry?
Forget about it.
There it is. DMX and Method Man. That was a single. You and Me featuring Kelly Price.
Who cares? What else?
I'll be honest. That was probably LL's worst record after 14 Shots.
Bad. It's all bad. Right,
well, all right, man. So much.
And he named it Goat.
Yeah. that was a far shot. So be careful with expired time. And his time it wasn't expired, but yeah, it still kind of fits.
Just, you know, he missed.
Yeah, it was a big miss. It was
I'm talking about missed long. Know,
sometimes your rhythm's just not in it.
Yeah.
Hey. Yeah. All right. Juicy J posted a tweet that caught my attention, being a producer. Just being an artist, creative. He said, peace and love, 3-6 to 3-6 Mafia.
Try that again.
All right, you want me to go?
No,
again?
I just want you to read it again.
Peace and love to 3-6 Mafia. Great to witness our music still going strong like it never left. LEF. People across the world sampling and remaking songs that we are great. We are grateful and we thank you all. Greatest group of all time. Hashtag. But Juicy J is basically saying that he loves that people are sampling and remaking 3-6 Mafia records. Now,
that's all cool.
But the artists from, what do you think the difference is? Because the artists from the 70s, 60s and 70s, they seem to have, some of the artists, not all of them, but I feel like it's more with the artists of that era that have an issue with the sampling versus a lot of these 90s R&B groups.
Exactly.
They like, it's cool. Is it the bread?
I think because a lot of those artists from the 70s, 60s, 70s, maybe in the 50s, they didn't have their paperwork together. So even when somebody sampled them, there are people who've had their music sampled and they don't even have to ask the artist because somebody else is administering their actual masters and their publishing. You know, it's different with Juicy J and DJ Paul because you got to call them directly and they get a nice percentage of whatever you do. You know, they're, you know, all the stuff that gets sampled from Parliament Funkadelic, that doesn't go to George Clinton.
That's a good point.
Now, he's never been one to, like, look Frown down upon, on, you know, he's worked with a lot of, especially on the West Coast, those artists, and because they've shown him love and they've actually been able to create new work together, you know.
Oh, but, they definitely took care of him. That's
but,
facts.
You know, like, there are a lot of these artists, they see, like, okay, you're gonna sample my music. And plus, they didn't see the vision at the time either, because it's like, okay, This what is this trendy
stealing.
Rap stuff? They just there was the whole
stealing,
everything
yep.
Samples just seemed like stealing, and it wasn't actually part of the creative process of music. And so there was a reason to look down on it at one point. But now, you know, if you're an artist and you say, "Oh, Jay-Z wants to sample me," word, okay, I'll be able to put my kids through college off of that.
Where do I sign?
Exactly. So I think partially because back in the day, the artists did not have their paperwork together, and so they weren't even reaping the benefits of being sampled. And also, they didn't see the vision. You know, they didn't see how if these records continue to make money
over a long period of time,
you know, like,
and it
just
stack up.
You know, just think about it with, you know, we talked about it in the Transformers movie.
Right.
Like, you had the Biggie Smalls song in, you know, whoever he sampled, they got a check too.
Yep.
And here, you know, this song is almost 30 years old. Based off of a song that might have been 15 or 20 years old, generating more money for you. But, you know, in 1987, you couldn't see that far down the line to where, like, this could be mailbox money for me if I just go ahead and let these artists sample my
but
music.
But you hear about artists that I assume, now I don't know, but I assume have their paperwork and stuff together. Stevie, for an example, you got to go through hell to sample one of his records.
Well, he just says, like, Steve.
No, he wants to have,
because he wants to know
control.
What it's about, creative control.
Right.
You just
and
can't
all of
curse
that.
Too much. It can't be something.
Aretha Franklin was that way.
Yeah.
But like Prince was that way.
But that's just, you know, that's them saying, okay, you can't do this to it.
Uh-huh.
You know, I'll clear it if you change this, that, and the third.
Right.
Or, you know,
I still want to have some input on my artistry.
Once again, you're talking about three people. They own.
Yeah.
No, I'm just saying if we want to do era comparisons.
You know, and I think they understand.
And it's different genres, too.
You know,
it's different
genres, Stevie, too. He's cleared a whole bunch of stuff.
Yes.
Yeah. If
he's
it's done
been
the right
featured
way.
On Travis Scott's album.
True.
He's done harmonica and played some instruments on other artists' albums.
You know, but he heard Me and My B from Notorious B.I.G. is like, oh, no, I'm not clearing that.
Yeah.
I could dig it. I see your point. I mean, Juicy, look, the way I'm reading this tweet, it's like a badge of honor. Like, hey, y'all keep going.
I mean, you got to listen.
You know, y'all.
So
we're talking about Stevie. We're talking about Stevie Wonder's content and Juicy J's content.
Well, I just threw.
We have one artist that says "slob on my knob." For you know, what
yeah,
I'm saying?
I know. Yeah.
Somebody else bought. You know, he wrote "Ribbon in the Sky."
Come on. So I mean, so my expectations for this sample that you're doing. He doesn't care. It's just like, just cut the check.
Yeah.
Yep.
You can have it.
Well,
gotcha.
Initially, like, Michael McDonald was not happy about
regulators. Yeah.
You know, but now I've seen, you know, Warren G has come out at Michael McDonald shows.
Yeah.
Oh, they bet and chopped it up.
The song is huge.
Sting gets paid literally every day mm-hmm. off of missing you.
Yeah,
every day.
You know, because a lot of times,
not based upon plays.
No,
no matter what, every day, no matter what. Day. Yeah,
yeah. He verified
I see your point. It's just I don't see it too often. Hey, we getting sampled out here is cool, but to your point, it's a check, and it's also, I guess, it enhances your legacy because it's always going to be flipped and it'll be around. So you can look at it too far. We getting the bread and still, its legacy.
I think personally, I would still want to have kind of the Stevie Wonder
approach to it
because I would want to kind of not necessarily police, but monitor mm-hmm. what my stuff is doing, even though somebody else is using it, even though I'm getting paid.
What you think, Long? You more on the bag side or you more about you know, the approach that Terry just said? The Stevie approach, we'll call it.
I understand both approaches.
Mm-hmm.
I think the important part is just, I think I probably lean more towards Stevie's.
The Stevie side?
Yeah, because I'm sure you don't want it, MAGA sampling your your new Proud to Be an American beat.
No, I don't.
Yeah.
Right? And so, I don't know. I the only thing that I would say to add to what you guys have already said
mm-hmm.
Would be, even though he says this, just make sure that if you do sample 3-6 or Juicy J, that you still get clearance from him.
True.
And that you're still following suit with everything, because even if he...
It's not an open invitation to just...
No, Juicy J and them got lawyers, so they know
how... They definitely got lawyers, 100%.
Yeah, so...
Do your due diligence.
It's one of those things where, yes, fine, seek them out. Just make sure that you do follow up.
Yep.
If this is you, and also, you know, like, I'm almost 100% certain
mm-hmm.
that Juicy J and...
DJ
3-6 Mafia does not have 100% ownership of everything that they've done, because they may have also sampled stuff as well.
Right.
They have.
And so you have to...
There are some known samples, but...
For sure. But you have to keep those things in mind as well. Like,
that's a good point.
And just because an artist says, hey, you can use my stuff, it doesn't necessarily... You know, is it owned by a label? Because if an artist says that, cool, the label still owns half of it or a percentage of it that you still have to clear. So yes, it's cool that he says this, but at the same time, just make sure you're still doing your due diligence and you're following up. And, you know, I think it's sampling is a lot easier now than it used to be. And, you know, especially with stuff like TrackLib and stuff like that, you know, they make it easier. But still do your due diligence.
That's good advice. Yeah. That's good advice. Like you said, Terry, I think I'm with you guys on the, I guess, the Stevie approach, but Long makes a good point when he says you can see both sides, because, I mean, this is clearly about they trying to run it up. So
I'm not mad at it.
I'm not mad at it at all.
No, yeah. I'm not mad.
I mean, I think to your point, too, like most of the time, I probably would not care.
Mm-hmm.
But there's that one or two time where it's just this one artist that I just don't like.
Yeah.
And you know, like mm-hmm. whatever they're about, their persona, whoever they are, is like, no, you cannot. No. So I would never let it just be a blanket statement. Like,
yeah, because, you know, Prince didn't clear the original sample for Nasty Boy for Notorious B.I.G.
But
for whatever reason, he cleared the sample for What's Your Phone Number?
Mm-hmm. For Tupac, yep.
So, mm-hmm. yeah, but yeah, that's
hey. Mike's favorite that song.
No, that's the worst song on that album. Yeah, it's the worst song. Point. Easily the worst song on that album. should have been on Art of War. Shout out to Juicy J at 3-6 Mafia. They get into that bag, and they do have a catalog that is getting flipped.
Yeah.
But Lone, you know, I can think of Willie Hutch off top. Juicy J got some of the best Willie Hutch flips I've ever heard. But that is going to get chopped down.
More than once.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. That, to Lone's point, though, that's definitely going to get chopped down. You know, when it's time, we'll just say that.
Yeah, your splits are going to be crazy. If you, some of these people, you sample them, some of your favorite producers, like that one time they used the sample.
Yeah.
Yeah, your splits are going to be real nasty.
Yeah.
You better find a way to perform that song. Because you ain't getting no money from the mechanicals. You can believe that.
Nothing. Nada. Zilch.
Zero. All right, man. That's going to do it for this episode. NewOldHeads.com for all the education you need. If you see it, like it, subscribe, share. We appreciate the support as always, and we will see y'all next week. Peace.
Yeah.
Bye.